So it's the last minute of the game, and we have a free kick, and we've basically just got to score to equalise, get a point. It's Bristol City. So what do? We pass it backwards.
That lass on Radio 4, who's sort of Charlotte Green, has got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons. See what we did there?
Yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
So allowing Rob for the fact that this is the companion Fly Me to the Moon podcast for the Ipswich Town game. Bristol City, I mean, clearly, we look for a two-way thing. So, I mean, as indeed Maddo and Addo, as I refer to our friends on BBC Tees, or Addo and Maddo, as they would actually say, and I think Mr. Madison was suffering from a bad cold at the time.
Yeah.
You know, you've already got the notion that Bristol City have given you a goal back through scoring a goal themselves.
Indeed.
You know, so they scored an own goal, so it's 2-1, all hands to the mast. Bamford gets the free kick. It mustn't have actually pleased Borough fans to have actually seen, let's just pass it backwards then.
It's fair to say there was a reaction to that.
Exactly. just a teeny one from that.
Yes.
Is it lack of confidence, though? I mean, is that the line that's actually here? That the notion of rather just at least just have a shot, get it in the box, do something on that basis. 30 yards from goal, Jenny, and joined by Jenny Finch, of course, ace writer from that point of view. You tend to think, what?
Not take good. A punt. Take a punt, for goodness sake.
I did think, lining up, thought, oh, can we bring Downing or Ledbetter on? Who's going to take this and what's he going to do? But yes.
I mean, even Bamford has, I mean, apparently during the warm up, he was taking free kicks and popping them in the net like nobody's business.
Yeah, true. I don't know what the feeling, what the thought was, but it didn't work anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a long way to go for a defeat. I think it was quite even at half time, really, apart from we didn't create many chances and they looked more dangerous. Mm. And then in the second half, two goals in a couple of minutes, pretty much one a repeat of the other. Bad mistakes. It's beyond confidence, really, isn't it? We're not defending well, and we're not particularly attacking well either. And Gary Monk did come out and apologise to all those fans, all 900 of them who'd travelled all that way.
950
on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And, as
you'd love to obviously check out the bridge, the other sort of excitements of Bristol and so on, you really would have liked to have had a bit more. And yet, let's dial back a bit to our last podcast on Friday the 24th of November and ahead of the, for 20, 30 minutes or so, it looked as though best first half ever.
Absolutely. Against Derby County, yes. They did score in the middle of that half. I think one of only two shots on target in the first half. But at the same time, you thought it was only a matter of time before Middlesbrough equalised because we were playing so well. We saw some of the sort of pattern of play we've been waiting to see. We were getting behind them down the flanks. But then in the second half, an absolute litany of errors.
We clearly talked about Patrick Bamford, who we're a big fan of. We still think it works through there. But was it a case of Danny Ayala basically feeling cold? He thought, I can't take this anymore. I've just got to go now. I don't fancy the trip to Bristol, so I best actually sort of just leave it now.
Well, he might have written himself out of the script for a little while. You would think it's... It wasn't the only person to make errors, but he'd been given a reprieve and he'd already been booked, and then he gave away a penalty. I'm not saying it wasn't his fault. It was Martin Braithwaite who passed the ball, so he wasn't booked again for a penalty, which is quite unusual. And then he did a professional foul on the halfway line.
And on that sort of basis, if you're James Beattie or Gary Monk, are you in the sort of position you're basically saying, are you guys wanting to get us the sack? Is it a case of something we said? Was it something we actually...
Was it something they said or was it something they didn't say? Because, if it goes on game after game and it's not just errors, but underperforming, we haven't seen anything like the Middlesbrough that we were hoping to see this season. So therefore, I think Gary Monk knows that the book stops with him and he isn't putting across... I don't know.
Something doesn't seem to be... I mean, allowing for the fact that clearly you might say, well, if you're looking at mid-table mediocrity on course. Fantastic.
Well, maybe not, because you get momentum going forward. But at the moment, we've lost two games in a row. We've lost three out of the last four. You've got to be very careful that you don't get into a crashing down the table.
Has the draw of the third round of the FA Cup raise spirits at all, or is it a case of, oh my goodness, now that they've actually got, you know, a former Welsh manager in charge, we might lose that as well?
Well, I think that was, that's a fantastic point from Sunderland's point of view, but I'm not really certain what Chris Coleman was thinking. It's, I hope he's got made the right choice. You would think it's a long-term job, whatever, isn't it, for him to do anything there. We can't help meeting each other in cups, can we, Middlesbrough and Sunderland?
Well, clearly,
It's something to look forward to, a derby match in the new year. But let's hope we've run into form before then.
It's the derby. I mean, obviously there are those who say it's Liverpool, Everton. No, I mean, that's something that takes place in the West Coast, etc. So clearly on the basis of, I mean, Derby playing Man United, etc. Man City, 29 games. Darn you, Shakhtar Donetsk. Sorry, I had to say it. You know, it's just but that's there's a lot of football to be played between then and now.
Yeah, exactly. And let's hope we start turning it around. On Saturday. That's what Gary Monk was saying at yesterday's press conference. Again, he has to say it, and we do need to start. It'll be a difficult game. Mick McCarthy's Ipswich.
Well, we are going to hopefully connect with Andy Comfort, the BBC Humberside fine soul.
Ipswich fan.
Exactly, major Ipswich fan. Jenny Finch, as we mentioned, is with us. Not necessarily an Ipswich fan. She's from Essex. It's all right. It's fine from that. But all that and more still to come on this Fly Me to the Moon podcast companion to the Ipswich Town game.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get good. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium. Hang on. Slow down. Hang on. One tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
How's the chemotherapy going to make me feel?
Is your mum going to get better?
Can I go on that cancer drug trial I read about?
When do I know if my cancer's gone for good?
If you or your loved ones have questions about cancer, Cancer Research UK can help you find the answers. With years of research behind us, we can give you the expert guidance and information you need. Just go online and search Cancer Research UK today.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Hi, this is Bernie Slavin, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie. At the moment, he's in the Hill Street Centre, isn't he, promoting his new book.
Is he still there? He was there when I spoke to him about 2 weeks ago.
Yes, we were chatting yesterday. Yes.
Well, Bernie Slavin, clearly we need to get him into the studio, actually. We need to work through that, because he may have actually played against Ipswich Town.
No, I think he did.
He did, indeed. And it's nice to see that as we currently look at the table, well, actually it isn't so nice to see, because Ipswich are 2 points ahead of the Borough. And who better than to actually share the joys and wonderments of having to come to terms with mid-table mediocrity, than the awesome legend who is Andy Comfort from BBC Humberside. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of putting a brave heart on things, because I can turn around and say, as a Man City fan, in the lounge to sort of produce the Fly Me to the Moon package, 29 games without defeat is reasonable, but I'm still annoyed with Shakhtar Donetsk. You know, on the other hand, there are all changes around. We've been talking about the Bristol City game, Andy. We've been talking about how you're in the last moment. Why would you pass back? We've been talking about various other bits and pieces. You've suffered as an Ipswich Town fan many a time over the years. I mean, you even suffered when you came out to Middlesbrough last time, because people sort of picked on you from that sort of point of view. So hopefully that won't happen. Are you coming to the Riverside tomorrow?
No, sadly I'm not. No, I'm going to be in the fair city of York tomorrow, so not too far away, but I shall be keeping very close tabs on events at the Riverside. Yeah, it's a while since I've been actually up to Teesside to take in a game. So I think it'll be interesting. Like you say, there's not much between the two teams at the minute in terms of the league table, although, as you very correctly and rarely pointed out, Ipswich are indeed actually doing quite well in the Championship league table at the minute, just off the playoffs.
32 points they have. 32 points from 20 games compared with Borough's 29 points from 20 games.
Yeah.
We also have ace writer and crime novelist Jenny Finch in the studio with us, Andy. Jenny, who was pleased that we forewarned her that you were an Ipswich fan, because being from Essex, you're not a big fan of Ipswich, I gather.
Essex and Suffolk, come on.
I thought it was a Norwich Ipswich thing, but I wasn't sure about the sort of the Essex Suffolk
Colchester Ipswich.
Anyway. Yeah. We're all friends at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There could be no finest BBC host of Drive Time than, indeed, Andy Comfort. And I'm sure that if Coventry want advice on how to deal with a real UK city of culture, they'd call on the Comfort Meister to actually provide that input.
Well, congratulations to Coventry. And it was lovely to see, by the way, yesterday evening on the Deep in Hull, massive projection saying, congratulations, Coventry, from Hull 2017. So, that'll be great for them, I think, as a... the city of Coventry.
And of course, Rob, when you last visited the city of Hull, Borough were pretty much high flying. They got a victory, they got a win. It wasn't like last season. We were looking positively through the future.
Yeah, absolutely. We had three victories in succession, didn't we? Things looked good. I guess that's what we've got to realise, that if we can come through this, and hopefully, no offence, we can win it against Ipswich and then start a roll. It's a shame that we haven't got David Nugent anymore, because David Nugent has got an incredible record of scoring against Ipswich. I don't know whether you've played Derby yet this season.
he has an incredible record of scoring against us, you're right. And we tried to sign him, actually. He was at Preston, he scored against us, he scored against us at Derby. He is one of those players, as soon as you see on the opposing team sheet, you think, well, Nugent will score. We try to sign him.
I mean, Mick McCarthy, many people would say he's been fortunate. I mean, he's clearly, as Mick McCarthy has been at Ipswich, I mean, Borough have had Aitor Karanka, they've had Steve... Ita's assistant, who was there for a time, Steve Agnew, etc. Obviously, we have Gary Monk now.
Yep.
What are the sort of general feelings of the Ipswich fans, Andy? I mean, do you think, well, you know, is Nick under pressure because he's kind of, you know, he's never quite made it, or is it a case of actually he's the best we can actually do, given the resources we've got?
I'm a big Mick McCarthy fan, and many of the fans went off him last season, and there was a real Mick-out movement and a growing swell of discontent just because things were stagnating at the club. You know, with the longest servers in the Championship, I think it's our 15th consecutive season there now, and, you know, people, it was just the same. It seemed to go off the boil, seemed to be rather dull football. It was mid-table mediocrity every time, and but this season things have changed, and I think he's got a young squad together. And I'm still a great believer. You need to give managers time. Our greatest ever manager, Sir Bobby Robson, lasted 13 years at Ipswich, but nearly got sacked in his first season. And you know, there were fans baying for his blood in the first season because we weren't doing well. You know, but then the board stuck with him, and 13 years later, he took us to FA Cup victory, UEFA Cup victory. So you've got to give managers time. Mick McCarthy is now the longest-serving manager in the Football Championship. Four and a half, nearly 5 years now. You know, says a lot, doesn't it? You know, when you've got like Arsene Wenger in the Premier League, that in the Championship, your longest-serving manager hasn't quite done 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, I'm pleased that we've stuck with him. We don't have a lot of money sloshing around at Ipswich. That's true, I think this season, if we can achieve the playoffs, we'll have done well, and we should be aiming at that. But I think what he's done with the resources he's got is very good. So I'm pleased that the fans are back on board a bit with him now, and that the football's a bit more exciting now at Portman Road.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And it's very interesting what you said about Sir Bobby Robson. Of course, it's what people always say about Alex Ferguson as well. How unsuccessful he was at the start of Man United. Gary Muggs had a really testing time at the start of his Middlesbrough tenure. But I do hope that people do stay patient with him, because you don't know what you're throwing out, really, do you? If a manager is good enough to put himself at the top of the list to be the person that you want to take you forward at the start of that season, then you've got to stick with him. I think through the first few months, it can take somebody a lot of time to sort of fine tune everything, can't it? I think.
I think you're absolutely right, and you know, I mean, I work in Hull, where obviously there's a new manager at the helm at Hull City of yesterday. You know, Nigel Adkins signed yesterday an 18-month contract, but again, Leonard Slutsky, by all accounts, a good manager, well respected, but was he given enough time? I don't think so. You know, but unfortunately, it's all about immediate results, and you know, Hull City fans and the owners getting twitchy, looking at the league table quite clearly with Hull City flirting with relegation zone at the moment in the Championship, you know. So it's, we've got to get somebody else in. I think Nigel Adkins actually is a very good appointment for Hull City. He was a cracking manager for Scunthorpe United. No, he struggled a bit, Reading and Sheffield United, you know, but I think he's a good appointment for them. But again, do they need to change managers as often as they have done? Goodness knows how many managers they've had recently, but quite a few changes since Steve Bruce left, haven't they?
You know? Yeah, absolutely. You only have to look at someone like Derby, and you think that's why they don't get anywhere. Oh, Nottingham Forest, always change the managers.
That's right. I agree.
Hull, of course, 5 points ahead of Sunderland, but I just put that there for no real reason. A bit of branding here, even though we have no connection with the BBC, other than obviously we love to actually consume the material that comes out on the BBC. But on their sports page, I don't know if you actually took advantage of this, Andy, you had a wonderful sort of line in terms of how much does it cost to actually watch your particular club. And I've picked that sort of detail. So the cheapest season ticket actually in the Championship is that of Birmingham, £230. The score for Middlesbrough, £397 that I actually have for the cheapest season ticket, and that comes at 19th place. Ipswich, you're in 22nd place with a season ticket cost of £423.
You may also,
I mean, if you're a Borough fan also, on average routine, for following Middlesbrough through the season, you could also have bought 95 months of music streaming, 381 cups of cappuccino, 20 console games, and 30 grams of gold. When we talk about gold, and I think Jenny would be interested, how much does it actually cost for your team to actually score a goal? Now, I mentioned Man City here. How much does it cost to actually to see a goal scored by your team?
Yeah.
Basically, it costs £299 to see a goal at Man City. In terms of seeing your... Oh, sorry, I rephrased that. That's a season ticket one. It costs...
Right, I was going to say.
Thank you. Yeah.
It certainly doesn't cost £299.
Well sorted. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Got £8.08.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
To see City score a goal. To see Middlesbrough score a goal, £23.35.
Right.
And Ipswich,
curiously not, basically they're in 22nd place here, £13.90. So every goal has basically been worth £13.90.
I wonder what it costs at Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah.
At the moment, beyond that, this week.
Yeah, exactly. It's, Liverpool what used to be sort of £15, £22. So, I mean, obviously there are statistics.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the one statistic that we try to do a deal with Ipswich as fans to fans that we would have reciprocal pricing for away fans, but Middlesbrough Club wouldn't go for that, which is a shame because the Ipswich fans would have been coming to, maybe could have come to Riverside for £25 on Saturday, and then Middlesbrough fans could have gone to Ipswich for £25 or something like that. So that would have been really good, especially if it was been our last match of the season, but that's not going to happen.
It's worth considering. Jenny, you're a keen rugby fan.
Yes.
But I mean, by default, you've kind of been following Borough and so on. Any thoughts on what you've been hearing there in terms of the fortunes of Ipswich and Borough, etc., and what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I have a horrible feeling it's going to end up as a draw. I would love to see a Middlesbrough win, for Middlesbrough rather than against Ipswich, may I hasten to add. but I think what they have to do, Middlesbrough used to be a fortress. You could not score. Their defence was brilliant. Now they're bringing some of the defenders forward. They've got more people trying to score goals. Yes, that's why we got knocked out of the Premiership, because we didn't score any goals. But they've got to sort out the defence. You can't just leave it open. You can't just leave it leaky. And they are giving some soft goals away.
Andy, I mean, from your own perspective as a Ipswich fan, do you think, would this be one of those fixtures which when you looked at it, you think, oh, we're not going to get much there? Or now do you think, well, we might have a possibility?
Yeah, I'm more confident than I would have been. And we had a very good win over Nottingham Forest last weekend at Portman Road, to score four goals. We're not shy of scoring goals now, which was a problem. We can score goals from different positions. Our problem has always been a problem, really, is that we can also let them in. So I would predict goals at both ends. I think it's one of those places, Middlesbrough, that if we come away with a point, I'll be pleased. And I think, in Ipswich at the minute, if we can carry on winning at Portman Road, and we seem to have turned a corner and seem to be picking up some results, and having said that, we're going away and winning as well, beating Derby 1-0. So Mr. Nugent didn't get his dream last time round. We beat Derby away 1-0. But when you can go to Derby and beat them 1-0, we could sneak something at the Riverside, but I would be happy with a point, because just at the minute, I think if we carry on doing well at Portman Road and we can get some good points on the road and the odd win on the road, then you're possibly looking at top six, aren't you? That's where you want to be. So, I'd be happy with a draw, but, I wouldn't be surprised if we did go and win, because at the minute it's the best Ipswich side I've seen for quite a few years.
Right. Yeah, and the pressure will certainly be on Middlesbrough if Ipswich score first tomorrow, I think. And that's what Ipswich will, Mick McCarthy's a wily character, and he'll know that. Keep that pressure ramped on Gary Monk and the Borough. And Gary Monk's his rallying cry this week has been about unity, the fans staying behind him. But he surely knows that it's up to the players to do something at the start of the match, really.
Rob, you were at the press conference yesterday.
I was.
What was the general vibe? Because you get a sense, obviously, with when you're actually there, how things are going.
It was very much no excuses. We are not playing well. We're in a bad place at the moment, but we're going to keep working hard, and we want everybody to rally round behind the players. And he'd seen a reaction this week, he said, in the training, and in the way they were talking to each other, and that we need to see that reaction on the pitch on Saturday and in every game after that. We've disappointed, we've let down the fans. So, we will see.
So let's ask Andy Comfort initially. Prediction tomorrow, Andy, what would you go for?
I will go for a draw. I'm going to go a 2-2 draw. I think there'll be goals.
Mm.
And I'm going to go a 2-2 draw.
Jenny?
2-1 Middlesbrough.
Mm-hmm. Rob?
Yeah. I was going to do that one. Yeah, I'm doing the heart. I'm going to say 2-1 Middlesbrough as well.
I'm going for 2-1, so goals will actually be there. I'll say 3-all, okay?
Oh!
Oh, wow, that's a load of goals.
Yeah.
Just going crazy on the horse.
Crazy on goals.
So, marvellous stuff. Andy, it's been fantastic touching base with a good self, as I always say. If you want to check out the best quality drive time service, go to BBC Humberside. You can access them online. It's always great. Sorry, BBCTs, you know. And as I say, I know Addo and Maddo, bless them, you know. In fact, he's sat in this very studio. Great folk, etc. But you know, it's, you know, we work our way through that. I don't even talk about BBC Lincolnshire. Sorry, best not to. It's just,
okay, no. Anyway,
that's the other line. Have you been happy to join us on the Fly Me to the Moon podcast today, Andy?
As always, a pleasure.
Yay, this is good stuff. Now, I'm not sure that we can persuade Andy to actually join in the next line, because it's when we normally... I know, Jenny, well, it might well be sort of... Because we always finish off with 7 words here that are meant to really sort of stimulate fans, etc. So they're basically, come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Yeah,
sort of words, etc. I don't really.
No,
yeah, no, I don't.
That would be cruel.
Yeah, not fair at all.
but let's do it.
Exactly. but in the fullness of time, I think we'll lead it in the studio. So a 1, a 2, a 3.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.